Good morning.
Good morning.
Praise the Lord. You all can sit down for the minute. Yeah, praise the Lord. Amen. Any worshipers in the house? Do we have any worshipers in the house this morning? Amen. Amen. Because no matter what we're going through or how we're going through it, worship will help us make our way through. Amen. God is a good God. He is a great God. He is a holy God. He is a wonderful God. He is my counselor. He is my friend. And I'm just excited to be here on this morning, giving honor to God, to Jesus Christ, to the precious Holy Spirit, and to the pastor of this church in his absence, Reverend Pickens. We just honor him on this morning. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We love him on this morning, and we want that to be known. And so without further ado, I am going to get into the word for this morning, but I need some worshipers in the house. All right.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. So if you would, at this moment, if you stand to your feet, we're going to read the scripture and then you can be seated. And our scripture has come out of the Gospel of Mark, chapter 14. That's Mark chapter 14, verses 1 through 9. And I'll be reading from the New King James. Does everybody have it? Say amen. If you're still looking, we can wait. Amen. All right, I think we're all there. Here, page is settling down. Amen. And it says, and being in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at the table, he being Jesus, a woman came having an alabaster flask of very costly oil, the spikenard. Then she broke the flask and poured it on his head. But there were some who were indignant among themselves and said, why was this fragrant oil wasted? For it might have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor. And they criticized her sharply. But Jesus said, let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a good work for me. For you have the poor with you always, and whenever you wish, you may do good to them. But me, you do not have always. She has done what she could. She has come beforehand to anoint my body for burial. Assuredly, I say to you, whenever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. And if you pray with me, I'm going to be speaking from the topic, extravagant worship. Extravagant worship. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Our Father and our strong God, God, we come, we love you. God, we come, we adore you. And Father God, as we come to this preaching moment, Lord God, we're asking that your word would go forth with clarity, with simplicity, with power. I pray, Father God, that you would just move me out of the way. Allow your Holy Spirit to do the work, to have the words, to comfort, to heal, to help, to deliver. Whatever it is that you want done, I'm just praying, Father God, that your Holy Spirit would do it. And God, we thank you and praise you in advance for what you're going to do. We love you, we adore you, we trust you, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Extravagant worship. Extravagant, what does that mean? It means excessive, over the top. I think the young people say now extra. Do I got that right? Amen. Is extra. It means trying too hard, doing more than the situation calls for, usually to draw attention to themselves. So people have a tendency to be extravagant, to be excessive, to be quote unquote extra, just so they could be seen. Do you know any extravagant people? Maybe they live with you. Maybe they work with you. Maybe they go to school with you. But these people who have just have a tendency to just always be over the top, always doing more than what most people would consider necessary. And what I found out, though, is extravagance can be good or it could be bad. And if we look at God, if we look at the Bible, we would have to say that there are times that God has been extravagant. He has been excessive. He has been over the top. And most of us don't mind that, especially when it's a blessing coming to us, where God has blessed us and it's excessive and it's over the top and it's more than enough. And I thought about Genesis when God created the world. He created all of creation, the sun, the moon, the stars, the plants, the trees, the animals, excessive, extravagant, over the top, but in a good way, right? And then also I thought about when he delivered the people from the Red Sea. Now, he could have did it any old kind of way, but the way that God chose to do it was extravagant, was it not? He went to the Red Sea and he parted that thing, pushed the waters up against the wall and allowed them to walk through on dry land. That's pretty extravagant. That's pretty excessive. That's pretty over the top. But that was God. And then you remember the 10 plagues, right? The flies and the locusts and the blood in the water and the hailstorms and even the death angel came. That was pretty extravagant. But that too was God. And so extravagance can be good and extravagance can be bad. Just depends on what you're trying to accomplish. And so when we look at our scripture today, we see that there is a woman, an unnamed woman. And she has gone into the house of Simon the leper where Jesus is sitting at the table. And when it says that he's sitting at the table, what he is doing is they're sitting there eating. Amen? And so in comes this unknown woman. In Mark, she is unknown, but every gospel has this story. And only John gives the name of the woman, and he says that it's Mary of Bethany. Mary, Martha's sister. Mary, Lazarus' sister. But Mark just calls her an unknown woman. A woman came having an alabaster flask of very costly oil. And so she came into this area. She came into this eating area because she was on a mission. Say, I'm on a mission. She was on a mission. And her mission was to worship Jesus. And her worship cost her something. It was very, very costly worship. And the first thing that it cost her was it cost her determination. Well, why do I say it cost her determination? I say it cost her determination because she was determined to do it. She wasn't even supposed to be there. The women didn't dine with the men, but she knew that that's where Jesus was. And so she was determined that irregardless of what she was supposed to do or what she was not supposed to do, according to the cultural norms, she was going to get herself to Jesus. Has anybody ever pushed their way to Jesus? Anybody ever pressed their way to Jesus? People didn't want you to go. People didn't want you to talk about him. People didn't want you to sing about him. People didn't want you to witness about him. But you were determined, determined to get to Jesus. Well, that's how this woman was. It cost her some determination. She was determined to get to him because she had a gift that she wanted to give him. And it wasn't some cheap gift. It was an expensive gift. She gave Jesus an expensive gift. And the question in my mind is, what kind of gift do we give to the Lord? What do we bring to him? The wise men, when he was born, bought him gold and frankincense and myrrh. And now this lady here is bringing him oil in an alabaster box. The oil was nard, and it was expensive. It wasn't no CVS stuff, y'all. This was some expensive oil, right? Came up out of India. And it was very strong so that when you put it on, it could light up a whole room. And I know some cheap cologne could do that too. But this was expensive. offensive. Okay, so it wasn't that kind of smell that you didn't want to smell. It was a good, fragrant smell. And she bought this expensive oil to Jesus. And it was in an alabaster box. And an alabaster box is made of marble. That's expensive too. Amen? And so she has this expensive oil in this expensive box. And she makes her way to Jesus. And the scripture says she broke the box open. She cracked the expensive box. Now we already know how we are with our valuables. One, we ain't gonna bring our valuable to Jesus. Two, we ain't gonna bring our valuable and break it for Jesus. But this lady bought her valuable oil in her valuable flask, and the word of God says she broke it and she anointed Jesus with it. But the thing is, usually when you anoint someone with oil, you just put it with a drop, especially with expensive oil. You don't take it and just pour the whole thing over their head. You just put a drop out of a dropper. But because of her love for Jesus, because of the way that she felt about him, she took this whole bottle of oil. The scripture said it was a year's worth of wages. That's how much it cost. And she poured it over Jesus' head. Just poured it over Jesus' head like you would anoint a what? A king. And so whoever this woman is, she knew something about Jesus that the other people in the room didn't know. She knew something about Jesus that was special. Perhaps she heard him talking as he did in the chapter before this. He was talking about the end time. He was talking about what it was going to be like when the times end and nobody would know the day or the hour. Maybe she heard that. And when she heard that nobody would know the day or the hour, maybe she said within herself, I got to get there now. I got to get there quick because I can't miss my opportunity to worship the Savior. While he is here in real time, I'm going to worship him. And I just want to put up a flag right there. When we come to church on Sunday, because we don't know if it's going to be our last time, we have come here with one purpose and one purpose only, and that is to worship the true and the living God. And so while we're here, we need to give him all the worship and praise that we can. While we are here, we need to know that this could be our last chance. And so while we're here, we need to give some costly praise. I want us to be mindful of that every time we enter into the sanctuary. Don't you know it could be your last time? And if it is your last time, you need to give God all you got down here because it's going to carry on with you up there. And so I want God to know that I am a worshiper. I love to worship God. I believe I was born to worship God. I may not preach that well, might not teach that well, but I know how to worship. And so she was determined. And she broke the cultural norms by entering the room. She broke the oil. She broke the flask. And it was a demonstration of her love for him. How much do you love Jesus? Do you worship him in private or just on Sunday? How much do you love him? Would you come, if he was here today, would you bow at his feet? Would you get down on your knees? Or would you say, if I get down, I can't get back up, so I'm gonna have to stand before him? What would you do? How much do you love him? She loved him. This was an act of love. But not only that, it was an act of thanksgiving. She was thankful. When you're thankful, you do things at no cost. You try to find a way to pay back what people have done for you. And she was thankful. She was thankful because this was the same Jesus who had defended her when her sister was criticizing her, talking about her because she was sitting at Jesus' feet learning, and her sister Martha was walking around busy, and Martha wanted to know from Jesus, why aren't you telling her to help me? And Jesus says, she's doing a good thing. He tells Mary the same thing here, you're doing a good thing. And so she had this spiritual relationship with Jesus. And sometimes people don't understand that. They always want you to be busy. Busy doing this, busy doing that, busy doing this, busy doing that. But sometimes you just need to sit at the foot of Jesus. You need to give him that worship. You need to give him that personal worship. You need to get into him so he can get into you. Some people wonder why they're not filled with the Holy Ghost and power. It's because you haven't taken the time to worship him. If you take the time to worship him, he can get into you real, real quick. He can get into you real, real good. Because when the praises go up, the blessings come down. Jesus loves our worship. And so it was an act of thanksgiving. But not only that, Jesus had also raised her brother from the dead. Oh, she had so much to be thankful for. And she knew he was leaving the scene. And so she wanted to get to him as quick as she can to anoint him in this special way, to pour this expensive oil on him. But not only did it cost her, but in the room, as usual, were some what? Some critics. Y'all know any critics? Self-appointed fault finders. Yeah, professional fault finders. They can find fault in anything or anybody. And so here she is loving on Jesus. Here she is anointing Jesus. Here she is thanking Jesus. And here her critics are talking about what she is doing. Oh, this happens so often. Don't y'all remember Hannah? Yeah. Hannah went to the temple to pray. And the Bible says she was pouring out her soul in prayer, kind of like this lady. And the priest Eli was sitting at the door talking about she was drunk. And she had to get up and say, "Sir, I'm sorry. I'm not drunk. I am pouring out my soul to Jesus." So many people misunderstand, misinterpret our worship. Our worship, first and foremost, is private. It is personal. So when someone is in the church and they're raising their hands and they're crying tears, don't assume that something terrible has happened. It might be something good that has happened. They might be tears of joy. It might be tears of thanksgiving. Everybody up in church ain't crying because something bad has happened. Many people in church are crying just to say thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. But here comes the critics. Pointing, oh, something must have happened in her life. Well, she must be going through. Oh, this and that, self-appointed fault finders don't know what's going on, but gonna make it up anyway. Amen. I had a friend one time. She's not my friend anymore, but you'll see why. And she used to come to me and she used to say, let me tell you something. I just want to give you a little constructive criticism. Okay, we was just getting to know each other. Okay, what you got to say? And so she gave me her constructive criticism, and it cut like a knife. And I'm thinking, okay, what was that about? So then she come back again. I need to tell you something. Can I give you some constructive criticism? So I'm like, I'm a little iffy now, but I'm like, okay. And again, and the same thing happened. Well, the third time she came and she wanted to give me her quote-unquote constructive criticism. Can I just talk to you? Can I give you a little bit of constructive criticism? And it was just like, no. No, you cannot. Not today, because your constructive criticism is really destructive criticism. Every time you open up your mouth and say something to me, it's like a dagger hitting me. And so, no, ma'am, not today. You keep your constructive criticism to yourself. Amen? Amen. Amen. Because some people don't mean you any good. They always trying to help you when really they need to be helping who? Themselves. And what does Jesus say? He said, "Why are you trying to take the splinter out of my eye when you got this great big old plank in your eye? First, deal with your plank, then come try to help me with my splinter." Amen. Amen. It says, but there were some who were indignant among themselves. They was angry about it. They saw that what she was doing and they were mad. Can you imagine that? Somebody worshiping God, worshiping Jesus, and the people in the room are mad. Why was this fragrant oil wasted? For it might have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor. And the Bible says, and they criticized her sharply. They rebuked her right there in front of Jesus, told her that she was wasteful, that she had gone over the top, that she was an extra, and they criticized her. And all she was doing was worshiping. a holy God. But they criticized her. And Jesus had to step in. And when Jesus stepped in, he said, let her alone. Don't you know that God can fight all your battles? God can handle a critic. Sometimes we get so uptight because somebody is talking about us. We get so uptight because people are criticizing us. We get so uptight because people misunderstand us. But you don't have to get uptight about it because God said, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay evil. And in real time, he addresses her critics. He says, let her alone. Why did he say let her alone? Because he already knew that their wanting to give it to the poor was just a smokescreen. They really didn't want to give it to the poor. Couldn't care less about the poor. They wanted to put it in their pockets. If you read in the Gospel of John, they said this was Judas Iscariot, the one who was saying to her that she is being wasteful, the one who betrayed Jesus. It is Judas Iscariot is the one who is her biggest critic, and Jesus already knew who he was. Jesus already knew he was a betrayer. Jesus already knew he didn't have any good in him, and so he silenced him right away. He said, let her alone. Let her alone. Don't you love Jesus? He is your biggest defender. Yeah, he will. Don't think he won't tell somebody to let you alone. You might not be in the room, but he can whisper to him and say to him, let her alone. Let her do what she's gonna do. She ain't bothering you. She's doing this for me. But the biggest thing is, Jesus knew that they were just putting up a smoke screen, and they hated it, but Jesus loved it. He loved it. You know why Jesus loved it? Because people came to him all the time for what they could get. I need a healing. I need deliverance. Get this demon out of my daughter. Give me food. Give me this. Give me that. And so people were always coming to Jesus to get. But she came to Jesus to give. And Jesus loved it. He absolutely loved it. We have to watch our relationship with Jesus Christ. We have to make sure that we're not just getting and never giving. We have to give. And a lot of times the only thing we have to give is what? Our worship. Said, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, the least that you can do. Just give yourself away. Didn't we just sing that song? I give myself away so you can use me. We sing it, but do we mean it? Do we really give ourselves away? Or is it a smokescreen? Just like the song and the words. Just singing along this morning, la, la, la. But I really don't mean it. I give myself away so Jesus can use me. Why do you trouble her? She has done a good work for me, is what he said. Jesus loved it. Somebody finally saw him for who he was, the King of Glory. Somebody finally saw him and loved on him. Somebody finally saw him and came to him and gave him something that was meaningful to him. And I just want to put in our minds that we should always be in a position to give to Jesus something that is meaningful. He is our Lord. He is our Savior. And he just doesn't want the little things. He wants it to be big. He wants it to be extravagant. He wants it to be excessive. He wants it to be over the top. He wants you to get out of you and get into him. And when you get out of you and get into him, it's going to be big. It's going to be glorious. It's going to be fantastic. People are going to talk about you, but it really doesn't matter because one day Jesus did a great and wonderful, extravagant thing for us. He went to Calvary and he died on a cross so that you and I could be free. He died on a cross so that our sins could be forgiven. He died on a cross so that we could have eternal life. That was extravagant. That was excessive. That was over the top. He did not have to do that, but he did because he loved you and he loved me. And if we love him like we say we love him, we at least owe him some extravagant worship. Oh, stop coming into the house of God and sitting. I encourage you. I implore you. I beg of you to get on your feet. And I'm not just talking about right now because I'm preaching it, but when you come into the house of the Lord, to make good use of your time here, to get on your feet and worship him, to get on your feet and shout hallelujah, to lift up your hands and worship and praise. Oh, just don't sit there and rock and clap. Oh, no, give God some glory. It's not about the choir. It's not about who's singing. It's not about who's preaching. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. And so when you come into this sanctuary, it is for him. The glory is for him. The praise is for him. The worship is for him. Move out of yourself and give God some extravagant worship. Oh, he is worthy of all the praise. He is worthy of the glory. We don't know when we will have the last chance. We don't know when he's coming back again. He deserves the glory in his house. We call this God's house. In God's house, we should be worshiping the true and the living God. In God's house, we should be exalting his holy name. In God's house, we should be giving him all the glory because he is worthy of the glory. He died for you. He died for me. He, hallelujah, he loved us. He delivered you. He freed you. You need to give him some glory. Hallelujah. What is up with this dry praise? What is up with dry praise? God has been too good. Oh, we need to worship him. Worship the Lord in the spirit of holiness. Praise the Lord in his temple. Hallelujah. It is God's house. It is God that we worship. We don't worship men. Get your minds off of men. Get your mind on God. Hallelujah. Everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to worship. How are you going to go to heaven and not be a worshiper? It is spiritually impossible. If you don't worship down here, you won't be worshiping up there. This is your chance to get it right. He needs people who will worship him in spirit and in truth. Not just one day, but all the time. Turn this house into a house of worship. Turn this house into a house of praise. Come in here and do what God is expecting. He is expecting us to love on him when we come in here. Let's learn how to do that. Let's learn how to worship him. Let's learn how to praise him all of the time. Extravagant worship. Worship that he'll receive. Hallelujah. Don't be afraid. There might be a critic in the house. Tell him to leave you alone. I'm here to worship God. Leave me alone. I'm here to give him the glory. Leave me alone. When he comes back, I want to be like this woman. He said that she did a good work. I want to hear him say, good job, my good and faithful servant. Been faithful over a few things. And one of those few things is our worship. Amen. Amen. God bless y'all. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah to his name.
Thank you for listening to a recent sermon from Pilgrim Branch Missionary Baptist Church. We pray that you have been blessed by the preaching of God's Word. Pilgrim Branch Missionary Baptist Church is located at 16813 Huff Smith Corville Road, Houston, Texas 77070. Our Sunday worship services are held at 8 o'clock a.m. and 11 o'clock a.m. with Wednesday night Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m. Please come out and join us for worship, study, and fellowship, where our motto is, "We are the branch, but He is the vine."